I made a stone, I don't break. Splashing through England to full forward to Lambert, and the goal is a delight for the Tiger fans.
Austin Elliott, who released Treloar. You love him here, bouncing through the 50 and kicking the goal.
Across Australia and online at aflnation.com.au. Welcome to AFL Nation.
For McDonald's,
try Macca's new cheesy range. Your favourites, only cheesier.
And Liquorland,
always great value.
Monday night footy sees the final instalment of round eight. We have a deep breath tomorrow, and then from Wednesday we press go. 33 games in 20 days, and we break the back of the 2020 season. Good evening and welcome to Monday Footy on AFL Nation for McDonald's. Never miss a goal with McDelivery, available via the Uber Eats app and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. It's the Dockers and the Cats tonight at Optus Stadium. That game coming up in about an hour from now. Jack Heverin joined in commentary this evening by the best analyst in the business and a man who pumped his fist like no other when he knew that there was 33 games coming up in 20 days, Terry Wallace. Hello, yeah. Plow.
Hi, Jack. How are you going? Gee, there's going to be a lot of divorces around the places in there. There's going to be blokes locking themselves away in their man caves.
So you would think with pubs closed that divorce rates should steady, but not with all this footy coming up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love it. And I'm very much looking forward to it. You know, that ability to finish your day off, maybe have a couple of little frothies and sit back, kick back and watch whatever the game is. And tonight's an interesting one. I don't think it's the star-studded game that we potentially could have, but it's a real danger game for Geelong. I mean, Geelong win and they're top four. So, I mean, not only where they're sort of sitting at the moment, not only do they sneak back into the top eight, but they'll potentially go all the way up to top four. So big, big game for them. And Fremantle, look, I think Fremantle have been pretty good so far this year. They just really want to try to pinch a couple of scalps, particularly while they're over in Perth and sides are hubbing over there. It gives them an opportunity. I would have loved to have Nat Fyfe playing because that would have given us a duel of Fyfe and Dangerfield. But it looks an interesting game, particularly with the Geelong out.
Average losing margin of 18 points this year, the Dockers. So they've been around the mark in most games. And as you say, for the Cats, seven changes and three players that we haven't seen at all this year. Josh Jenkins from the Cats will join us in the next 10 minutes. But they've really had to go deep onto their list, which they're probably the first team in real time, like we're seeing it right now, who are going to have to go all the way to the very bottom. We know Richmond are doing it, but the Cats now, with all of these condensed games, just haven't taken chances on a few.
Can I say one thing? It won't be the last two that we see do it, because, I mean, it's just going to be the nature of the way it goes in this season. And look, we saw with Richmond 2 weeks ago that giving some of the youngsters an opportunity, all of a sudden, you know, they're hungry and desperate to take their chances and, you know, play really good football. So, I mean, I can't see any reason. You look at somebody like a Charlie Constable, who played really good football early last year, lost his position in the side. They found it difficult to fit in Dangerfield, Selwood, Meningola, and another, you know, one of the slower types through the middle of the ground. So, but it doesn't mean he can't play. It just means that he just was lacking in opportunity. I mean, I think the young man can seriously play football, really sticks his head over the ball. He gets a chance. Well, he's going to come in desperate, absolutely desperate to try to lock something away. Now, whether that's locking something away for his future at Geelong or whether that's just being on display to the rest of the competition, sort of saying, hey, look at me, you know, I'm restricted for chance because of where I am and, you know, I'm out there and this is what I can do. So, I mean, yeah, for a player like that, You know, they come into these sort of games really hungry.
There's some showers around. Forecast top of 24 degrees in Perth today. They've hit that, but it is drizzly as we speak, and we're just seeing some of the pictures from Optus Stadium. I spoke to someone in Perth today, Plough, and the forecast doesn't look great, so we will have some greasy conditions, and we'll talk more about this game across the hour. You can join us 0433 98 11 16. You can send us a text from anywhere in Australia, 0433 98 11 16, or you can give us a call on 1300 736 736. I mentioned Josh Jenkins, he'll join us in 10 minutes from now. Yesterday, Plough, you and I did the Adelaide and Essendon game, which became a bit of a nail biter. Jumped in the car, got home, walked in the door sort of about 5 minutes before halftime of the Collingwood and the West Coast game. I said to my beautiful partner, who's sort of in isolation and looking after two kids at the moment, I'll do bar time with the girls and I'll watch the last quarter of the game. She said, yeah. So I took the girls into the bath, the four-year-old and the six-month-old. Got them out of the bath and dry and clean with a minute to go before three-quarter time. I walked out, looked at the telly and said, what the bloody hell happened? What happened was, I've since gone back and watched it, what happened was West Coast played arguably the best quarter of footy we've seen in 2020.
Now, I think that that's absolutely fair. And, they got everything rolling. They were red hot, and I don't think anyone was going to stop them yesterday. I haven't taken much account to what happened with Collingwood. You know, the late out of Pendlebury probably upset the apple cart a bit. A few too many genuine stars out. I know a couple of those aren't coming back for some time, but they were just put to the sword yesterday by a side that was right on their game.
Oh.
And we go back to the first quarter last year of the MCG game where West Coast played against Richmond, who ended up being the premiers for the year. And, they kick seven goals and they're unstoppable. So when they get that style of game going, they are really tough to beat. And whether it was Nick Nat in the ruck, and we'll speak about the whole rucking role and, its ability to impact games in a minute, but whether it was him, whether it was Kelly really getting back to the form that Kelly showed with Geelong.
That's the best game he's played for the Eagles, isn't
100%,
it?
100%. Yeah.
30 disposals, 528 metres gain, 6 clearances.
Yeah,
it's a pretty complete book. Yeah.
So I did a game, I can't even recall which game it was now, about 4 weeks ago when I gave him the 3 votes. But this was a much better game, like a much more pure. That was a really even performance from the whole side. And you had to pick somebody. He was the one I went for. This was a really polished performance by him. And the guy just keeps growing. We've spoken about him quite a bit. I mean, obviously Kennedy kicking, the goals and kicking them from the boundary line, doing whatever he wanted to yesterday. But Oscar Allen is the one that just keeps on growing and developing as a player. They can throw him through the ruck at times, and he's really dangerous. He gets, he's mobile and athletic, and then going forward, I mean, he's getting the third and sometimes a fourth.
And that showed yesterday.
Tall, yeah.
He had, at times, he had Schaarenberg for company or someone even smaller than that. He kicked 3 goals, and had he not been as unselfish as what he could have been, he could have ended up with 4 or 5 of his own.
Yeah, he's a serious young player, and one of the players. They give him a week off, and once he come back in, this was about 3 weeks ago, and I can remember sort of saying to you on one of the shows that we do, Jack, I just sort of said, West Coast, don't ever drop this bloke again.
Yep.
I mean, even if he's down marginally, I mean, he is the future of the West Coast Eagles. He's going to be there. They're going to be a 14-year player.
No question about that. Nathan Buckley's analysis post-game was pretty raw and very, very honest.
We played our Washington Generals role really well today to the the West Coast Globetrotters. They looked like they grew in confidence and in in dare. They were really clean with everything they did, and we were the opposite. And that's an outlier performance for us as a team. It's an outlier performance for the games that we've seen throughout 2020. They've rarely been that one-sided, and it only happens when one team's right on and another team is right off.
35 inside 50s yesterday for 21 scores.
Yeah.
So depending on some look at that glass half full and say they only generated 35, it doesn't matter if you're scoring from 21 of them, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And for those that don't know their Globetrotter history so much, the Washington Generals were the team that the Globetrotters played every night.
Yep.
And basically, they weren't allowed to win.
They were designed to lose.
Correct. So Buck sort of said that his team was the Washington Generals, just to fill in for some that might have been going, What's all that about?
Google them. Trust me. Yeah. So are they back, the West Coast Eagles? Because their form has been patchy. There's no questioning that this year. Yeah. But did you see enough now, and with what's to come in the next little while with home games, are they back, the West Coast Eagles?
I'll preface it in they are back in Perth.
Right.
Whether they can take that on the road and distribute exactly what they were able to do last night. Not many sides are going to do what they did last night. I mean, that was pure and almost perfect. So that's not going to happen all the time. But they are certainly right in the mix as a premiership in premiership calculations. There's a lot of people saying today, I don't look at the bookies results or anything like that, but a lot of people saying they've shot to premiership favouritism.
They have, yeah.
Unless you can tell me that, and you can't, unless you can tell me that the grand final is going to be played over in Perth, I still wouldn't necessarily have them as premiership favourites.
What did Nick Natanui do yesterday? Josh Jenkins to join us in the next few minutes. What did Nick Natanui do yesterday, though, that was instrumental in this? I know you're really keen to talk about this because Brody Grundy is hands down one of the best players in the competition right now and probably the best ruckman. He looked completely outclassed yesterday.
Okay, so tap outs for the game were 28-27. So no difference in tap out. If you went and hadn't seen the game, you'd sort of say, well, that looks like a reasonably even duel. It couldn't have been more polar opposites if you possibly tried. And watching the game, it was just a domination in tap outs by Nick Natanui. Now, I'll try to put it into my own terms of when I played as a midfielder. Most of my early part of my career, and it was with great sides, with Hawthorn, we didn't have great tap ruckman. I mean, even the great Don Scott, when he was there, he was a small ruckman. He was a more mobile around the ground ruckman. He wasn't one who'd get first use of the ball because he'd be coming up against Gary Dempsey and guys like that were much, much bigger and had a much greater leap. So Scotty's work was more around the ground. But so for most of my career, I didn't really have an appreciation. I'm just talking about tap ruckman.
Yep.
Now, they were good ruckman, but I'm just talking about the art of tap work and clearance. So I never really had a great appreciation about how much difference it could make to a midfielder's game, because my whole game was trying to read off the other team getting probably most of the time first hands on the ball. So then I got to the Bulldogs and ended up late in my career with Scott Wine, Brownlow medalist and big man, who had the ability of being able to get first use of the football. I couldn't believe how much difference it made to a midfielder's game, knowing that they could run with confidence to a spot and have more often than not the ability of it going their way and giving you a chance. You could actually read the game and get ahead of the game that way. Now, add another layer to it. Natanui does it to such a degree that he puts it, well, most ruckmen, even the types like a Simon Madden or a Scott Wine that I was talking about, would give you that advantage. But that advantage would still only be within the pack scenario. So
the circle,
Let's call it a three-metre radius. Nick Natanui gives you a 10-metre radius. So you can actually, instead of, first up, it's great to be knowing that you're going to get first hands on the ball, but he gives you the opportunity of being able to get first hands on the ball outside of the drop zone, which gives you clean air, which gives you clean use, and gives you deep inside 50s, and most of the time gives you an opportunity to actually lower your eyes and do something because you've got a bit of room. Most of the time, when you get hold of the ball in that helter-skelter of a midfield go, all you can do is bag it on your boot and just try to get some meterage to it. But he's giving them the opportunity of actually getting outside that and getting really pure use of the football. And I thought it was completely dominant, his role in the game, and his role to be able to help the domination of people like Kelly.
0433 98 11 16. Whatever's on your mind from the weekend's footy, still the one game to come tonight, of course, between the Cats and the Dockers. And you can give us a call on 1300 736 736. It's our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont's. They are proudly Australian. Let's go to the Cats hub. Josh Jenkins is unfortunately not out there tonight, but does join us in our pre-game around Australian AFL Nation. Josh, thanks for being with us.
Good evening.
How are you coming along?
I'm well now, yes. It's been a very, very frustrating and very slow build. I trained fully and was feeling really good during the break that we had. And then almost to the day of return, I came down with a sore back, and it took us about 10 days, but we finally found that there was a little fracture there, a little stress fracture in my lower back. So very strange and bizarre, because I've never suffered from back troubles before. But it's cost me about 6 or 7 weeks.
And because of that, and we know how sensitive that area of the body is, do you have to be ultra cautious with the recovery in case it flares up even more so?
Well, early days I did. I didn't really do a thing for a month. So there was a month there where I didn't really do anything more than a little bit of light walking. So it was a slow month to begin with, but I'm sort of racing the clock and trying to make up for lost time at the moment. So I had a really, really big individual session on Saturday with 4 or 5 of the coaches helping me out, putting a bit of pressure on, and went again today with another big contact session. So I'm getting close to being ready.
Josh, Terry Wallace here. Good luck. I hope it goes well for you. Can you try to explain to our listeners how frustrating that actually is? I mean, you started off with sort of saying, yeah, it's, you know, ultra frustrating. I remember leaving my main club being Hawthorn that I played with and going to Richmond and only playing 10 or 11 games in my first season there. And boy, oh boy, I mean, it was just the bane of my life, you know, because you're so much wanting to prove a point and do things and just don't quite get that opportunity.
Yeah, you're spot on, Cleo. It's very, very upset. I find game day very upsetting at the moment. I'm actually sitting in my room here at Burswood, staring straight at a big, great big purple off the stadium. So it's really disappointing that we can't, for one, the obvious thing is to get out there and play, particularly at the moment. We've got some injuries to some of our bigger guys, and, you'd like to be 100% fit just to give the group some more depth and to be able to put your hand up and help the team when they need it the most. But the other aspect is just not being able to even go to the game. I saw the team play in the flesh as a travelling emergency in round one, but haven't seen the boys play since. So even for our younger guys, not to be able to go, and our first year guys, not to be able to go and see the team play live has been hard. But there's a small group of us who will sit together tonight and cheer on the boys just like any other spectator.
What about trying to learn about the Geelong way and how the game's going to be played and all that? I mean, obviously you've needed to be working on getting your body right more so than anything, but you know, since the COVID scenario and only being able to get in smaller groups, has that been difficult as well?
It hasn't really. The game style and the way that the coaches coach you to play here is it's simplistic in the sense of they want you to bring your absolute strengths and they'll work around whatever else happens. You know, there's obviously minimum standards for the weaknesses in your game, but it's basically continue to work hard on your strengths, know what they are and bring them when you're out there playing in the team, actually bring them and focus on them, because, you know, that's the reason why your magnet got put on the board. It's not, you know, the coaches don't pick you and say, oh, we can't do this and you can't do that. They pick you because you can bring something to the team. So that's sort of the mantra, and then that fits in somewhere along the, you know, inside the game style. So that's been the easy part of you know, trying to fit in at the moment.
When you do get the opportunity to get out there, obviously you would have spoken to Scotty on arrival at the club, or you know, prior to coming to the club, just about what role or what responsibilities he saw you having. Is it forward ruck? Would that be the role that you would be more likely to play?
A little bit, yeah. I'm probably aiming for a bit more versatility than that. I think Scotty, early days especially, saw a bit of a role to have someone who can who can play a little bit more between the arcs and be a bit of a conduit, for, you know, so that Tommy Hawkins and Asava don't always have to come up the ground. I think there'll be occasions where probably not tonight, I'm staring outside and it's a bit wet and windy, where we'll look to play three talls. There'll be other times where Asava might be the main ruck and it'll just be Tom inside 50, which is probably what you'll see at different stages tonight. So, it's a bit of a work in progress, particularly with the injury. But I came to the club, you know, fully understanding that it was unlikely I'd play 22 games, but there was a role there for me to play somewhere. And sometimes it's not about the 22 games during the home and away season. It's about the ones in September or whenever they actually happen this year. So hopefully I can play a part then.
So you've played that sort of up and back role, you know, quite a bit with Adelaide anyway, but it sounds like it's almost a combination between the role that you used to play at Adelaide and the role that Tommy Lynch played at Adelaide.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And Tommy obviously has a greater aerobic capacity than I would, so he can sort of play that role for the whole game. But you know, as I said, with Asava and with Tom being able to be so effective as a ruckman inside 50, and you know, when Darcy Fort and Reece Stanley get back, we've sort of got some flexibility there. And you know, having three or four guys that can do a bit of ruck, bit of forward, you know, some work up the ground. So I think the flexibility is going to be a bonus for us, and that's sort of what I've been focused on. And and what, you know, sort of how I watch the game, you know, always trying to think about how you could add to the team or where you'd fit in when you watch the boys play.
Josh Jenkins joining us here on AFL Nation. Tell us about Brad Close, who makes his debut for you tonight. Josh, everything that I've seen from the Cats social media and read a few articles about him in the last few days, he looks like a bit of a cult figure, and he's a long sleeve wearer, am I right?
He loves the long sleeves. I think he hadn't been too warm in Geelong over the summer, but he donned the long sleeves almost every training session we had across the pre-season. So he'll definitely have them on tonight. From Adelaide, so I was aware of him, you know, as a Glenelg Premiership player in SA. So, you know, got great skills, got great work ethic, and really covers the ground quite easily. You know, if you watch him, for those who will be at the game or even if you're able to see behind the goals vision at different stages, he's a really smooth mover. He can sort of covers the ground faster than it seems, and he really does blow up the, you know, it's not until you get the GPS numbers you realise how hard he is working. So he'll have that role of sort of getting up and back and helping grind Myers and sort of filling that Luke Dalhouse role in a different way. He's probably a little bit more of a small forward in terms of hitting the scoreboard. Luke's more about sort of the pressure, but Brad can sort of get up and back, and hopefully the guys can get him involved early, because I'm sure he'll be a little bit nervous. And, you know, his family sitting at home unfortunately can't be there, but I'm sure they want him to get an early touch as well.
We look forward to seeing him tonight. Josh, thanks for joining us. Always great to chat, and look forward to seeing you out there sooner rather, hopefully, than later.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Good on you, Josh.
Josh Jenkins joining us on AFL Nation. It's our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont's proudly Australian. Great opportunity tonight for Brad Close, as Josh mentioned, was a premiership player last year with Glenelg in the SANFL, and undrafted in 2017. He's 21 years old, but just one of those good stories of not giving up on your dream if you miss out on the draft.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing about this season is, yeah, we've seen it with the Western Bulldogs in particular, where they just keep rolling. Yeah, first game is through. I think you're going to see a lot of that, and particularly over this next period where we've got the condensed games, where teams are going to give the opportunity where perhaps they might have been a little bit more conservative in the past. I think you'll sort of see more of these guys get an opportunity.
We'll talk Demons and the Brisbane Lions on the other side of this and a whole lot more. 1300 736 736 to join us on the phone and on the text around Australia on 0433 98 11 16. It's our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont's. They are proudly Australian.
AFL Nation for McDonald's. Never miss a goal with McDelivery. And Liquorland. Always great value.
Monday night footy around Australia on AFL Nation. It's all for McDonald's. Never miss a goal with McDelivery. Available via the Uber Eats app and for Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Terry Wallace and Jack Heverin for the Cats and the Dockers. We should get the final teams in very shortly as well. And you can send us a text, 0433 98 11 16, or you can give us a call, 1300 736 736. One about the Demons here that I want to talk to you about, Plough. One about Steel side bottom. That's not a bad little question we'll get to a little bit later on as well. But as we get closer to the bounce of the ball, let's get a points bet update with Elliot Forbes.
An odds update, proudly brought to you by PointsBet's AFL Early Payout. Lead at halftime and you win. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
G'day punters, Elliot from PointsBet previewing Monday night footy. The Cats versus Freo. Geelong very well backed with us here. They go into this one as favourites. They're $1.50 in the market, which is a pretty good price according to the punters at PointsBet. Absolute flood of money for the Cats, even with a few outs. Freo outsiders here, $2.60. And betting on the line here, going to get 10.5 points either way. Quickly touch on the first goal scorer markets. Tom Hawkins, first line of betting, almost always is every single week. He's at $8 and rock solid. Tabernar at 11, Walters at 12, and Rory Lobb at a bit of a longer price here at $15. And the elite odds available every single game for this round and moving forward for next week as well. Walters and Hawkins to both kick a goal, you're going to get $2.50. So Walters and Hawkins to kick a goal at any time, you're going to get $2.50 with us at PointsBet tonight. And the early payout, well, that is back from next week. Thursday, Friday and Saturday night games. If your team is up at halftime, it's good enough for us. We'll pay your head-to-head bet out as a winner. T's and C's do apply. Jump onto pointsbet.com.au, download the app. And as always, please gamble responsibly.
Thank you very much, Elliot. PointsBet's AFL early payout. Lead at halftime and you win. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. Match review findings are in for yesterday's games, Plough. And there were a few contentious issues that have been discussed, looked at, and ruled upon by Michael Christian. We start with Kyle Langford, who's been charged with front-on contact against Shane McAdam. In summary, he can accept a one-match sanction with an early plea.
Well, we actually did that game, and I don't have any issue with that. I think that's about where it should have landed.
Zach Merritt got $1,000 for rough conduct, a dangerous tackle on Chase Jones. About right?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Dom Sheed gets $1,000 for striking Taylor Adams. The evidence was assessed as intentional contact with low impact,
was low impact
and body conduct.
Yeah, that, no
body
problem.
Contact, I should say. Elliot Yeo, on the other hand, will get a week for striking Rupert Wills. Based on the evidence, the incident was assessed as intentional conduct, low impact and high contact.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I would have thought that would have been a fine as well, that one.
I reckon they might Coast Eagles. Daniel McStay has been charged with forceful front-on contact. Why can't I say conduct and contact? Against Neville Jetta in yesterday's game against the Demons. Two-match sanction. Based on the evidence, it was assessed as careless conduct, high impact and high contact. This is probably the big one to come out of yesterday, really,
yeah,
wasn't it?
And it's one that I probably looked at the most because there was a lot of talk around the fact that Jetta led with his head. I didn't see it that way. I mean, I thought that it's a dangerous, dangerous act that we don't want in the game. Well, I don't think there was massive malice in it.
He put his hands up straight away, Daniel McStay, didn't he? Yeah.
But made the wrong call, made the wrong decision, and has to pay a price for it. We don't want that in the game. You are still, you know, and people who sort of say, whether it's Joel Selwood or whoever else, you are still actually allowed to put your head down and go and get the ball. So, okay, you're not allowed to drive with your head, but you've still got to be very, very careful when you decide to bump someone who's got their head over the footy.
And Kaiseya Pickett has been charged with rough conduct for a tackle on Jarrett Berry and accept a $1,000 sanction.
I thought he was pretty unlucky.
I thought the whole thing is just wrong, to be truthful. The whole thing just doesn't make any sense.
No, there was a couple of incidents where he was involved where I just thought that they were good, ferocious tackles. So, I'm surprised with that one.
And the fact that there was a free kick for it, I know that sort of Twitter went into meltdown yesterday, but I didn't see a lot wrong with the tackle. What part of that is deemed to be dangerous? So it was assessed as careless conduct, low impact and high contact. Yeah. Was it high?
Well, I can't tell you which part because I don't agree with it.
No.
So I found that one a bit strange.
The only other one from yesterday was the match day report of Matt Crouch and Jacob Townsend for a little scuffle at halftime. That one got tossed out straight away.
Yeah, which my son was the reporting umpire in that one. His call on it was that from where he was, the two guys had jumpers together. They the heads come together. He couldn't tell from his positioning of did one create it, did the other one create it. Both got split open as it worked out. So, and there was a melee starting to form. So his thought was report them both, let it be sorted out after the event, and it simmers down that melee scenario, because you can sort of say, okay, both guys have been reported.
Yep.
There's blood over both players, so that was inciting the other guys around the area. And what it ended up, I think, from what I'm hearing, is what it ended up was that when they were pushing and shoving jumpers, you know, had a hold of each other's jumpers, it was almost like an instantaneous.
As opposed to a headbutt.
Yep. As opposed to a headbutt. So that's the way it played out. That's fine.
Sean Burgoyne is the other. He escaped a fine for a dangerous tackle. Second time this season he's been in that situation. Patrick Dangerfield, he buried halfway underneath the turf at Geelong's home ground earlier in the season. On Saturday, it was James Rowbottom. Careless action was the interpretation at the time. What did you think of it?
Well, we did that game as well. We've been busy, haven't we, Jack? We did that game as well, and my call afterwards was it's right on the edge, and that I think that he'll be okay because Rowbottom landed on his shoulder first. Mm. Yes, his head definitely hit the ground. My only proviso on it was if they want to stamp it out, do they go extra hard? They decided to go down the pathway of just a fine, and I'm comfortable with that, but you're flirting with things. I mean, it's right on the edge of what is okay and not.
And what is really, really dangerous as well.
Well, so if he doesn't land on his shoulder and he lands on his head, he's out.
Ice.
And he's out for a couple.
Weeks. So, yep. It's the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont's proudly Australian. We'll talk about the Demons and the Lions very shortly. We'll start to build up towards this game as well. 0433 98 11 16. You can join us around Australia on the text, or you can give us a call on 1300 736 736.
AFL Nation for McDonald's. Never miss a goal with McDelivery. And Liquorland. Always great value.
Listen, it's a difficult thing. If you're listening to my whole press conference, it was pretty measured and composed. And I spoke about swings and roundabouts in terms of free kicks that come and go your way or otherwise. That's the game. I didn't think I was in any way being disrespectful to the either the umpires nor Tom Papley. In that respect, you know, if anything, I'd choose my words differently more than anything. You know, like, because we had to get on a plane to Perth, you know, we've lost a close game. We're under the pump a little bit, not a little bit, a lot. We had a press conference 10 minutes after the game, the disappointment of our players. We tried hard without getting the result, and there's lots of things about game that aren't working very well at the present time, but I couldn't question the endeavour of our guys and how hard they tried, and in the perhaps the disappointment of a key moment in the game. You know, I spoke about Tom milking a free kick. I should have used different terminology, really, because, you know, every player has done that in the game. That was the only way I could actually win a free kick that I'd play. So, yeah, choose my words a bit wisely, more wisely in the future, but just got caught up just how quickly it was after the game, and it was a key moment of the game.
That was Alistair Clarkson moments ago on Fox Footy. We thank them for that audio plough. It's been the press conference spoken about more than any other from the weekend. What did you make of that little passage?
I thought he made a few more errors than what he was sort of suggesting there. He did mention that there was five of those for each side, five knockdowns for each side, and, you know, if they paid all 10, that would be fine. I didn't see 10 incidents in that game. We did the game, didn't see 10 incidents in that game that were anything like the Frawley situation. So I thought he sort of stretched it a little bit to try to get, which ain't all us coaches do. I mean, you stretch it to try to get your point across. So I think he was, what he said there was a little bit different than what actually occurred during the press conference, but I think he's now sort of
heat of the moment
sat back and go, I probably overcooked it marginally.
Was he deflecting at the time?
I think he was.
I've only heard one person, of all of those in positions of media, I've only heard one person say since Saturday that they didn't think he was deflecting.
I thought he was deflecting because I thought that what it became the press conference virtually become about the incident and the umpiring rather than the team's performance. So that's not a bad little manoeuvre from a coach's point of view, that you can flip it around so you spend more time on certain instances in the game and things that happen in the game and throw the blame across to somebody else. In that press conference, he threw the blame across to two people. One was Papley and for flopping, and the other was the umpires for not having any consistency or what he believed was feel for the game. So I thought he was able to manoeuvre nicely to have the conference about that. And so when John Longmire walks in, what do they ask him? They ask him all the things that were spoken about in Clarko's rather than the game itself as well. So to me, that's a deflection.
Well, take us into the coach's box if you can. And you've played midfield your entire career and then go into the coach's box. There seemed to be two instances yesterday where either the wrong decision was made from a tagging point of view or no decision was made at all. Now, we're all experts with hindsight, and we'd all be senior coaches with hindsight. But we did the Adelaide and Essendon game firstly. Matthew Nix chose to go with a semi-tag on Andrew McGrath.
With Keys.
With Ben Keys, which then allowed Zach Merritt to run around and be the best player on the ground with 33 disposals.
Yep.
Then in the final game of yesterday with Brisbane and Melbourne, Lachie Neale has 8 in the first quarter.
Yep.
By that stage, he's caught fire. Jack Viney tried to do a bit of work with him head-to-head after that, but the damage was done. Lachie Neale will no doubt get the 3 votes from yesterday's game with the umpires and one step closer to a Brownlow maybe. What is that discussion like during the week in your coach's meeting when you're talking about, A, are we tagging, and B, who are we tagging?
Well, first up for me, it has changed since I've stepped away from it because it's become the total team defence more so. It was coming in when I was coaching and, well, it was certainly in when I was coaching, but it's developed and really tightened up. So, for example, Richmond. Richmond won't tag Bonampelli this week.
No.
They just won't tag Bonampelli. They'll play their total team defence and they'll work out that even if Marcus Bonampelli gets it 35 times, we believe that we'll be able to control where the game is played and have the inside 50s and the time in forward half on our side. So it doesn't matter what numbers he gets, it'll be our full game style that they'll play against it. Going to the Melbourne game, I can't tell you what Melbourne, whether that's was their reasoning or whether that wasn't their reasoning. But I can tell you that Lachie Neale has been the best player in the competition up until this stage. So you would have wanted to have a fair, decent discussion about it, in my opinion. I would rather lock someone away early than let them get a start and then try to reel them in after that. So I'm from the school of lock them away if you can and develop somebody into that role who's hungry to play that type of role for your football club and do that. Whether Melbourne has that person, I think the closest one they've got to that is Harms.
Harms.
Yeah, he's the one that I would think has got the ability to do that role and has done it and done it reasonably well in the past. The other one, I was just surprised. I mean, we did the Essendon game. I do my matchups and have a big black ring around Merritt with Keyes' name in the middle of the ring. I've got it sitting there in the paper on my sheets, notes from yesterday. I thought that's the way that they would go. I did say before the game, wonder whether he does go a young Keyes on a young McGrath. But the standout midfielder, the absolute standout midfielder going into that match was Scheel out with Stringer, not with his body being able to go through the middle of the ground. The one you couldn't let get out of control was Merritt, and he was best on ground.
And that's what happened yesterday. It's our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont, proudly Australian. We'll have the final teams on the other side of this. A little bit of rapid fire before we finish up the pre-game as well. Stay with us.
AFL Nation for McDonald's. Never miss a goal with McDelivery. And Liquorland, always great value.
Monday night footy around Australia on AFL Nation. Good to have you with us for McDonald's. Never miss a goal with McDelivery. Available via the Uber Eats app and for Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. We are about 10 minutes away, maybe a little bit more than that, before the bounce of the ball between the Dockers and the Cats. Just having a look here. And there is a change And a very, very late change for the Fremantle Dockers as well. I'm just having a look. Brennan Cox is the late withdrawal.
Can they have any luck with key defenders?
Another key defender. And Toby Watson is the in to make his debut and has found that out just a few moments ago, a young man from the Swan Districts in the Waffle. So we'll talk more about him very shortly as well. Want to go rapid fire. We call this Brooksy's Rapid Fire, and we didn't get a chance to go through this yesterday. Let's punch through these. Did Melbourne's performance yesterday show that they can contend for a finals position, or do they still have a bit to prove?
Still got a bit to prove. They're on the right tram. And since they've straightened themselves up, brought Wiedemann in, got a little bit more athleticism in the front half of the ground, they certainly look better.
Mm-hmm.
Still a bit to prove.
What's a better spectacle for the game? The big power forward taking marks and kicking goals, or the small crumbing forward? So essentially, it's Kennedy versus Papley from the weekend.
Yeah, so I think the game has changed to the degree where the excitement machine of the small forward has become a major part of the game. But spare me if Buddy Franklin, if Tony Lockett still aren't the number one draw cards on any given day. Whether we ever get back to that, I don't think we'll see them kicking their bags of goals. But boy, oh boy, it's exciting to see a Matthew Richardson kicking 10 at the MCG.
Speaking of small forwards, Jay Clark from the Herald Sun reporting tonight that Charlie Cameron's set to re-sign with Brisbane, which is good news. There was some stories around a couple of weeks ago that he was happy to shop, but I wasn't buying that for a second.
I can remember when there was pick 16 and pick 12 on the cards for Charlie Cameron, and there was a lot of discussion and, he's not worth pick 12. The four picks between them. You've got pick 16 anyway. I can remember going that trade period and say, just bite it off, which they eventually did.
Yep.
I think it's been worthwhile.
The Saints kicked 12 goals one on Saturday night. Is that luck, talent, or somewhere in between all of that?
It's somewhere in between it, but when you can sit here and say that the last time that a side won kicking 1 point for a game was 120 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
So to me, it's luck with a bit of everything thrown in.
And should there be some sort of red flags on Jack Stephen, who plays one game and is outmanaged tonight?
Yeah, I'm worried about Jack ever getting back to anywhere near his St Kilda form. Is he in the best side for Geelong? I'm not convinced yet. Doesn't mean that he can't be, but I'm not convinced that he is. They've got a decision somewhere along the journey, and it's not yet, but somewhere along the journey, are they better playing a younger player in that role, or are they better playing...
i.e. Constable.
Yeah, or are they better playing him? I've got the sense that the younger player would probably be the way to go. Yeah, Fogarty as well, sort of, that type of player.
Very, very nice rapid fire. And a little one off the text for you. Steel Sidebottom's ban is over. He'll be back next game, probably as captain with Scott Pendlebury out injured. Is that a good look?
It's fine because he's had a 12-year, 14-year history in the game as being a clean skin, one indiscretion. Luke Hodge didn't lose his position when he was caught out in a finals campaign, so I'm comfortable.
It's AFL Nation for McDonald's. Never miss a goal with McDelivery available via the Uber Eats app and for Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. First bounce coming up next.